At 41, Scott Jurek stood at a crossroads. Despite 7 consecutive Western States 100 victories and numerous ultra-running accolades, something vital was missing. The familiar rhythms of training and racing had lost their luster, leaving him searching for a new challenge that could reignite his passion. This wasn't merely athletic burnout, it was a deeper yearning for transformation and meaning. The Appalachian Trail represented everything his structured racing career wasn't: wild, unpredictable, and profoundly challenging. During a reflective run through the Anza Borrego Desert, Jurek confronted a sobering truth. Time was running out for certain dreams. If he wanted to attempt something as demanding as breaking the Appalachian Trail speed record, it needed to happen soon, while his body could still withstand the punishment. This connection to wilderness wasn't new. Growing up in Minnesota's forests and lakes, he'd developed both a love for endurance and a capacity to embrace discomfort. These childhood lessons had carried him through countless races, but had been somewhat muted by the demands of adult life and professional competition. When he finally shared his intention with his wife Jenny, affectionately called J-Lou, the decision crystallized. This wouldn't be just another ultramarathon. It would be a rediscovery of the pure joy of running that had first drawn him to the sport. The 2,189-mile path stretching from Georgia to Maine represented not just a physical challenge, but a journey back to his essence as both a runner and a human being seeking meaning in motion. Standing beneath the trail map at Amicalola Falls State Park Lodge, the magnitude hit home. 2,189 miles to cover in 46 days or fewer. The southern Appalachians greeted them with relentless rain and wind rather than sunshine. Scott quickly found his rhythm at 4 miles per hour, a pace that would become his constant companion. In the quiet of the green tunnel, memories surfaced. His disciplinarian father and his mother, whose battle with multiple sclerosis taught him true perseverance. By day 6, runner's knee struck, sending pain through Scott's leg on every descent. Despite his physical therapy background, he could only adjust his gait and push forward. The combination of physical pain and harsh conditions bred doubt. The challenge forced him to confront fundamental questions. Why chase this record? What was he trying to prove, and to whom? These weren't mere musings, but essential questions that demanded answers if he was to continue. His physical pain became a mirror, reflecting the true purpose behind this monumental effort. Beyond Spence Field and the Great Smoky Mountains, Scott faced a key paradox, balancing the trail's spiritual nature with his speed record attempt. While traditional thru-hikers viewed his speed focus as diminishing the trail's sacred character, Scott found that speed and spirituality could coexist. His long runs created their own meditative state, with physical challenges becoming teachers of presence and perseverance. This philosophical question found wisdom in David Horton, a Southern ultra-running legend Scott saw as a Yoda figure, who helped him understand that records and spiritual growth could complement each other. Though Scott initially sought solitude, his journey evolved into a communal experience. Local runners joined him for sections, and while these encounters sometimes slowed his pace, they added meaningful dimensions beyond the pursuit of a record. Crossing the Mason-Dixon line marked a crucial milestone as they entered Pennsylvania, nicknamed Rocksylvania by thru-hikers for its treacherous terrain. The sharp rocks threatened twisted ankles and punished already battered feet, yet Scott managed to increase his daily mileage to make up for lost time. Day 24 brought both torrential rain and triumph at the trail's halfway point. The psychological boost of having more trail behind than ahead was celebrated by gathered supporters, marking a powerful moment of achievement. The journey's demands strained even strong bonds. Jenny, who had sacrificed much to support Scott's dream, faced moments that tested their partnership. These challenges revealed their relationship's true strength, not an idealized journey, but one that could endure both physical and emotional storms. Vermont's notorious mud emerged as an immediate adversary, transforming trails into a quagmire that claimed shoes and momentum alike. Each step became a negotiation with the earth, a lifting, slipping effort that dramatically slowed progress. The conditions connected Scott to one of the oldest sections of the Appalachian Trail, where generations of hikers had faced these same muddy obstacles, creating a shared historical experience. Sleep deprivation began triggering hallucinations, a common phenomenon among ultrarunners, adding a surreal quality to the journey. By day 34, Scott's body showed concerning signs of breakdown, with night sweats raising fears of infection despite massive caloric intake. What sustained him wasn't just physical conditioning, but the pure love of the journey, the recognition that this struggle was exactly what he had sought when leaving behind conventional life. As Scott entered the White Mountains of New Hampshire, the challenge reached new heights, literally and figuratively. The elevation gain was punishing, but the landscape's beauty offered some compensation for the effort required. Sleep deprivation became an increasingly serious issue. By day 38, Scott was moving like a ghost of his former self, his interactions strained by extreme fatigue. Support crews rallied to aid him, but moments of reprieve were scarce amid the intense demands of the terrain. The journey to Lake of the Club's Hut became particularly perilous, as Scott, dangerously sleep-deprived, yet determined to maintain schedule, relied heavily on his team for safety. Mount Washington loomed ahead, a peak infamous for having some of the world's most unpredictable and violent weather. By day 42, Scott faced a moment of reckoning. The math didn't seem to favor breaking the record, and a sense of hopelessness crept in. In a moment of despair, he contemplated slowing to a walk for the remainder of the journey. Yet Jenny, Timmy, and friends rallied around him, arguing passionately that the record remained within reach. With additional support arriving, a meticulous plan was forged to tackle the remaining obstacles, particularly the daunting 100-mile wilderness. The final ascent to Katahdin was the physical manifestation of Scott's entire journey. As he climbed with friends both old and new, the mountain lived up to its Penobscot name, the Greatest Mountain. At the summit, Scott's euphoria came not just from breaking the speed record, but from a profound sense of completion. Standing at the northern terminus, touching the famous trail end sign, he experienced a perfect synthesis of exhaustion and elation. The mountaintop offered a mirror reflecting who he had become through this crucible. Every mile, struggle, and breakthrough had contributed to his evolution. The journey had stripped away pretense and revealed essential truths about endurance and purpose. Looking out across the vast landscape he'd traversed, the record itself, 46 days, 8 hours, and 7 minutes, seemed secondary to the journey's deeper meaning. He had rediscovered his love for running, strengthened vital relationships, and proven that midlife marked not an end, but a beginning of meaningful challenges.